about. And we spend a lot of time working with people that make web apps, people that make web pages, to make sure that they're open and accessible to everybody. So what I want this talk to be about is how can we work together? How can we help you? How can we all help developers out there pick and use open technologies? It's not working. There. So we all agree that the web is awesome. How many people can how many people use the web every day? How many people can remember a day when you didn't use the web? Can you imagine going back to that day? For me, it would be worse than not using my cell phone. So the web, when it first came out, when the web first came out, I was in college, some early 1990s, and one of my college roommates came home and she told me about this really cool thing. I had used email and news groups and user groups, but she told me there's this thing called the internet and a browser, and it was really cool. And I listened to her, and I told her it sounded like a big waste of time, that she was going to be wasting a lot of time on this web thing. But back then, it was about information. And pretty soon, it replaced like encyclopedias. And so you would have websites that were just all links of information. And if you look at the Microsoft website, I think this was from early 2000, so still 2002 or 2004. 2002. We're even talking about if your browser doesn't support images. So we've come a long ways from there. So these days we use the web to keep in touch with family. So for example, I have a really large family. My dad has 10 brothers and sisters. And now when my dad wants to know what's going on, he calls me and says, "So what's going on with the family?" And so I give him all the news of all my cousins, and then I say, "Dad, you really need to sign up for Facebook." And we even work online. So this is part of my team in a video conferencing call, and we're usually not so serious. I click the little capture of the screen and realize we look like we're all discussing something very terrible. But it's really quite amazing. I have a team of 10 people. We are in 6 different countries, I believe, 4 different time zones, speak 5 different first languages, and we all work together. And without the web, without the internet, I wouldn't be here speaking to you. We probably wouldn't all be here in the same room. Supposed to go faster. And it's doing amazing things. Like, we even do all of our work, all of our personal banking. You can live online, both businesses and personal. But as we do this, we run into problems. So for example, I do all my banking online. I recently called the bank, and their security question asked me where one of my relatives owned property. And I answered the question correctly, and they gave me access to my bank account. And then I said, "How did you know that was my relative? And how did you know where she owned property?" And my bank, the place that has all of my money, told me, "Well, it's public record." So they gave me access to my bank account based on public record, public information they had about me. And to me, that's mixing the information that I give the world through the web and the information that I give private companies that I do business with. And I think we need to help users, end users, and companies understand what the web means and what it means to give information out over the web. But they are getting better and better, all these applications, in spite of my bank using public records to identify me. This is actually an old picture, but we have tons and tons of things that you can do on the web, tons and tons of applications, everything from pictures to business. And what I think is really important is all of these things can be done now with open technologies, or just about all of them. And I'll go into more detail later. Like how many people have played Angry Birds? That is a very popular game and is written entirely in JavaScript and HTML, and technologies that you can use on any browser or any mobile device. So it's really important as we move forward with these web applications that we do them with open technologies. And for a number of reasons. When we do them with open technologies, we enable anyone, anywhere, to be able to use them. So they don't have to buy a specific computer. They don't have to buy specific browser software. that you can look and see how they did it, and you can build on top of it, so we're not all reinventing the wheel. So it's really important as we push these technologies that we make sure that the open ones are accessible and people can use them. So as I equate the open web, the push to get technologies on the web open to the push that we did to make sure that software was free. So how many people here are free software fans? Is that everybody? So a lot of people made a lot of sacrifices to make free software happen. When I first started working with the free software community and Linux, this was back in 2000 or so, I would take my laptop and it had Windows on it. I actually went to a GNOME conference and was sitting in a room with a bunch of GNOME folks and turned on my computer and it made that horrible, awful noise. You know that Windows little boot up sound, and everybody in the room turned around to look at me. And people would ask, why are you using Windows? And I would say, because, you know, this was in 2000. If I use the free software desktop and I go to my hotel room at night, I can't log in. You know, the modem doesn't work on it. Or I need to schedule meetings with my colleagues and the meeting scheduler doesn't work. Or I need to, you know, do the managerial stuff at work and it doesn't work on Linux. But there were people that made great sacrifices to make that work. I mean, there were people that would spend all evening in their hotel room making that modem work with Linux and free software. And because of those sacrifices that those people made, I can now use a completely free software desktop for my work every day. So it's the sacrifices people made back then that I think we're making on the web now. And people back then made it for, I think, two primary reasons. Some people pushed for free software because they believed that software should be free. I actually think if you poll most open source software developers, a third of them are doing it primarily because it's the right thing. I mean, even if all of them believe that, primarily for the right thing. And then the other reason that people worked on free software was so because they got really annoyed. They would get the blue screen of death and they couldn't fix it on Windows, and so they went to free software. And that's one of the reasons we need open technologies on the web, so that if it doesn't work, we can all help fix it. So if it doesn't work, you can go look at somebody else's example and build on that and learn from it. For those of you listening on the translators, am I speaking too fast? Do I need to slow down? Thanks. I have a manual clicker. I like point at her and then she clicks for me. Have you seen Larry Lessig speak? Larry Lessig, he has like 1,000 slides in every talk, and he had to do that once. I felt really sorry for the person. So I think we've gotten a bit lazy on the website because so many things are easy to do that we don't always worry about whether we're using open technologies. We don't always worry about whether we're respecting user privacy. We don't worry if we're informing the user. So I just want to go over some of the things that I think we should be helping people understand. So when it comes to web apps, how many, it's important to have this on web apps. So I wanted to do a quick poll. How many people use at least one kind of application on the web every day? How many people think they use at least 5 every day? So everybody's using them every day. How many people know if those web apps that they're using are all built with open technologies? Not necessarily free software and open, but just open so you could see how they were done. So anybody have any idea whether they are or they aren't? Okay. I don't always know either. So when you sign up for those web applications, a lot of times they come with user agreements. And if you're like me, you read the agreement, you don't read the agreement, you scroll through the agreement and you click OK. But sometimes those agreements say really scary things. One of the more popular email or social networking applications, which I assume probably a lot of people in the room use, I use, says, for your security, we may temporarily disable access to your account. And you click through and you say, I agree. And then it says, we will not be able to reactivate your account for any reason. So I've had friends that have been locked out of their email and had no way to get back in. And so you end up calling everybody you know that might know somebody that works at that company, so maybe they can reactivate it. But you get into the point where you're trying to prove that you are you, because they closed the account because they thought something fishy was going on. So how many of you use some kind of web-based email? How many of you back it up somewhere so you also download it to your server? Okay, so what do you do when you get the message that says, yes? Next one, please. So what do you do when you find out that you've been logged out of your account in the morning? So I actually use a web-based email and I back it up with Thunderbird. So I don't use Thunderbird, but it runs on my machine at home all the time, just grabbing all of my email, so if I get logged out. So some of these web-based applications do it better than others. And I think our job is to make sure as we develop applications and as we talk to the people that do develop applications, making sure they make smart choices. So for example, the Google applications, they're not necessarily open as in free software open, and they don't help you back up your data, but you can very easily get your data. So that's like a good step, that you can get it. It's better than not being able to get it. It's not as good as having a button that says back up my email now or store it somewhere. So some of the web apps do it better than others, and we need to start thinking about this so we don't all look like this, because we shouldn't all have to do it by ourselves. So every individual should not have to worry about their rights on every application. They shouldn't have to try to figure it out. They shouldn't try to figure out if their data is being backed up. We need to work together to develop web applications that are open, and we need to help people that are developing web applications make them open. So some of the things when you think about having an open application is the data. So we talked about your email, your pictures, your contacts, your friends, the things you said about your friends, the things you said about your kids. That data is out there, and we need to understand what's being done with it and what we can do. Also, it's out there, and it's really hard to delete. So you see, I use a lot of pictures in my slideshows, and I used to have this really cute picture of a baby with her mouth open, just like that, and it was really cute, and I had it on the slide, and I had it, you know, photo by the person that I had taken the picture from, and I put it on my blog. And I got an email from someone, and she said, oh my God, please take down that picture, that's my grandchild. And I said, it was on your Flickr account. I did, I took it down. And I wrote her back, and I said, it was on your Flickr account under a Creative Commons license. And I said, I had the right to use it, I still have the right to use it, and so does everybody else that saw that picture. And she had no idea that by picking that, you know, share my picture of Creative Commons, that she was giving everybody in the world the right to use her granddaughter's picture, and that she can't delete that, like she can't take that away. So when you post a comment on Facebook, you are giving that comment to Facebook. It's still yours, you can still use it, but you can never truly take away the rights from Facebook. So if you said something really stupid one night in college when you were drinking, and you put it on Facebook, and you deleted it, Facebook can still use that whenever they want. They may not, they may never use it, but they could. So we need to focus on not just the data that we're giving away, but what rights do we give with that data, and could we ever delete it? And the other thing when it comes to data is, could you move it? This is actually a New Zealand bird, and it's migration path. So you can see, I think the orange ones when it flies north, and the yellow when it flies south, or the other way around. But if you have all of your email with one web service provider, and you wanted to move to another one, could you? If you have all your friends on Facebook, and you decided to move to Orkut or to Twitter, could you? Could you move your messages? Could you move your friends? These are things that we need to worry about, that we need to help people understand, and we need to make it easier so that they can own their data and own where they live. So it's just, and if you can't move, then you're locked in. So if I left Facebook, it would be really hard for me, not just to grab the contact information out, but to move kind of that network somewhere else. One of the other things that we're thinking about a lot at Mozilla is identity. So how do you prove that you're you on the web, and how do you make sure you only share as much as you want to? So I know a lot of websites are trying to be this identity authentication. So if you log in as if you log in on Facebook, other websites that you go to can now see that you're logged in on Facebook and have access to some information about you. And how that happens is, it's still confusing to me, and it's definitely confusing to the average person. Or other websites will say, if you want to use this service, you can log in with Twitter, or you can log in with your Google account. And when you log in, it's not easy to see what rights you're actually giving that application. So are you giving them access to your email, to your friends, to your contacts, to what are they getting? And so at Mozilla, we're thinking about, what does it mean to have an online identity? And who should be kind of, where should that identity be stored? Who are you gonna trust with knowing who you are and where you like to keep your pictures and where your email is and who you're willing to share that with? And right now, a lot of thought is being put into that, and I think it's really important right now to share in on that discussion and help people understand so that they don't default to, oh, I'm on Facebook, I can log into this page with Facebook, go ahead, log me in, because it's easy to push the button. When they push that button, they should know what they're pushing. They should know what identity they're giving up. Another important thing for web applications is the license. So as free software fans, you know that the license is important. But using just a free software license doesn't make a web application free software. Also, there's other things, this is the Faro GPL, the AGPL, and it's pretty good for websites in that it says, you know, if you use the software in a web service, that counts as distributing it, and so that you have to also open source your changes. But it doesn't address data at all. It doesn't address identity. It doesn't address privacy. So I don't think it goes far enough to address user concerns. And the other thing I mentioned a couple times is making sure users are informed. A lot of times we focus on just making things easy for the user, and we need to make sure that it's not only easy, but that it's obvious what they're giving up. So if they decide to log into a place with their Google account or their Facebook account, they need to know what that means and what they're giving. Or if they decide to use Flickr and they pick the Creative Commons license, that they understand that picture is licensed under the Creative Commons license forever. Like, anyone that downloaded a copy can keep that copy and use it how they want. That was obviously not clear to the woman who contacted me about her granddaughter's picture. Oops. So, along, I just wanted to mention Do Not Track, that Mozilla is working on, and we're trying to get others involved in it. Is this ability to tell websites that you don't want them to track you for advertising purposes, that you don't want them to be keeping track of which sites you went to and what you did on that site. So I'm going kind of fast, but they wanted to keep questions till the end, so we're going to keep going. But if you do have questions or something's not clear, please jump in. You know, please raise your hand and ask now. So I want to talk a little bit about why being open is important, and I realize I'm probably preaching to the choir. I realize you probably all know that. But it's important to be open because you can then teach and show others. So in Mozilla, and especially within the team I'm on, we're working really hard to make sure people learn from each other. And so when you can see how something's done, you can copy it, and you can change it, and you can tweak it. And that's a very important way to learn. It's how a lot of us learned how to write web pages. I went and I did view source, and I copied it, and I pasted it, and I tweaked it. And so we need to make sure that when we get to applications and more advanced web pages, that we keep that. I don't know why sometimes it works. And then I wanted to talk about some of the tools that are out there already, and some of the tools that we're working on. And I would love to hear about any other tools that you know of. So for example, this is Mozilla Developer Network. This is where we've been trying to document how to do things on the web. So we have information about JavaScript, about CSS, about video. So you can, anyone who's looking for information about how to make websites can go here. And this is a wiki. So it's not just Mozilla folks working on it. We also have Google folks that work on it with us, Apple folks, and many, many individuals, many people that are part of the community have helped to make this a place where people can go learn about web technologies. There are also sites like HTML5 Doctor that give information about the web and have tidbits every day. There are sites like Stack Overflow, where you can go ask questions and get answers. And all of these are built on communities of people that are helping others learn. This is Demo Studio. It's a new site that Mozilla launched, and it's very much, I was talking about how you can see a web page, a view source, and copy it. Demo Studio is doing that same thing for demos, and we call demos, you know, they're games or they're videos or they're menus that pop up as you scroll over them. We're trying to put a place where you can go say, I want a login screen. What would that look like in JavaScript or HTML? And you can go find an example and copy it and make your own example and post it. So there's a lot of really awesome things being done. And I wanted to point out that these awesome things are being done with open technologies already. So like my example before is that you can make you can make really cool games now that run in the web browser with open technologies. So if you played Angry Birds, you played a game that's developed completely with open technologies in the browser. So there isn't a need to be using Flash or other proprietary technologies. It can be done with open technologies. This is Google Docs, which is also written entirely in open technologies. I mean, it's not open source, but in open technologies. And these are two teachers that are working together on a Google Doc of some sort. This is also Universal Subtitles I threw in here because this was one of my favorite applications at the moment. It is sponsored to some extent by Mozilla, but Universal Subtitles, you can put up your video and then anyone can sign in and start transcribing it, and then anyone can jump in and start translating it, putting subtitles in another language. And we had a class that we did with a group of girls in California. So we had a bunch of girls come to this conference, and we helped them make videos about what they wanted to be when they were older. And then we posted the videos online, and I wasn't there. A bunch of us that were in other places, we transcribed it, and then we had people all over the world adding subtitles as the girls made their videos, so that they could experience the power of the community. And it was actually a little frustrating, because I really wanted to help. It was a Saturday morning, and I logged in early so I could help transcribe the videos and help translate them, and they were all done before I could even look at them. So the community, it was the power of the community that we showed these girls how easily you can do this stuff if you work together. But it's a really cool tool, and I've used it to transcribe like some of my own talks, not translate them, just transcribe them and have subtitles in English. Another really cool tool is PhoneGap. So PhoneGap makes it possible. One of the problems that mobile application, Jeremy, you can interrupt if you want. Well, you can only interrupt if it's good.
Okay, well, it's definitely good. The okay. Universal subtitles thing is incredibly interesting and useful. But what I really want to do, my father is profoundly deaf. There are many documentaries that we don't own any of the rights to that aren't subtitled. What would be nice is to have a web app where you can upload someone else's copyrighted content, subtitle it, and then essentially have it deleted, but you keep the subtitles that you added, so that you can then overlay that on someone else's commercial content. Is that, will Universal Subtitles do that, or is that, because it gets into a real gray area, because I don't have the rights to the documentary that I want to subtitle for him, and yet I need some tool that will allow me to to subtitle it and then give him the combination, because he owns a copy of the documentary that he bought on DVD.
Right.
I just want to burn him a new DVD with subtitle files embedded in it so he can watch them.
So I'll definitely put you in touch with the Universal Subtitles folks. I know you can point it now at any YouTube video, but I'm pretty sure it makes a copy on the Universal Subtitles website. But that's a really good point, because you could add this information to any video playing anywhere, and it should be possible just to overlay it onto any website. Yeah. And you can, I don't know, if you could delete, you could do that, but the copy would live there for a little bit. And then you could delete it, and you can download the file with all the...
They could
still see you. So that's a really good point. Could you do this to videos you don't own the content for? Oops. So PhoneGap. So one of the problems facing mobile developers is that they have to develop for the Android, they have to develop for the iPhone, maybe they're also looking at MeeGo, probably not Symbian anymore. But there's a lot of different platforms out there. And what PhoneGap does is you can build your application as a web page. So you can build your game or your application completely in HTML, JavaScript, CSS, that type of things. And then it will make it run. You can download from here. You can download it for the Android or for the iPhone. So this makes it much easier for developers not only to develop once for multiple platforms, the web, the Android, and the iPhone, but to develop once in open technologies, and then it runs anywhere. How many people here develop web? How many people here write web pages? How many people here develop web apps or kind of more complicated web pages? Cool. How many people? Well, I'll get to that in a second. So there's a lot of resources out there, and I encourage you to find them and pass them on to tell others about them. So what can we do? What can we do together to help make the web more open? First off, I encourage everybody to learn. Like, learn yourself how these things work. I'm still learning how they work. I actually wrote my first JavaScript application just last fall, earlier this year, and I got lots and lots and lots and lots of advice on my blog. So a lot of people were interested in following that journey. But learn yourself about how to do things. If you're writing a new web app, try writing it and then using the PhoneGap app to put it on your phone. And then create things. It's really easy to create the web. And I'm actually reading a book right now that's very interesting that says, when we learned how to read, we learned how to write. When we learned how to listen, we learned how to talk. But with the web, a lot of times, we learn how to use these web apps and we don't learn how to write them. So it's really important for us and for all our children to understand what's possible to create as well as to consume. And I think as we create, we'll also respect more user rights and privacy as we learn what the issues are as we create things. You can join the Mozilla Reps program. So Mozilla Reps has a program. It's a network of people that are spreading the word about the web and open technologies and Mozilla technologies as well. If you need help with funding to go to a conference, for example, to speak about open web technologies, you could apply through here. It's a resource. So if you want to help spread the word, please consider it a resource. Then show others. How many people here have helped somebody in their family or friends network use their computer? Sure that y'all get those calls of, I was trying to use my computer and it did this funky thing, can you please come over and help me? So how many people have helped a family member or friend use their computer? So take the opportunity to teach them about some of the things they should be thinking about. If you do make something cool, we are running a contest called Dev Derby. It's part of the demo studio I showed you about. So every month we have a different theme. So we have, right now it's at CSS3 animations. Next month it will be video. And if you submit it, what we really want to do, the reason we want these demos is to show other people what cool things can be done. But we're also doing a monthly contest where you get an Android mobile device as the prize. But all of the videos are open so that people can copy and change and tweak and learn. You can write about it. So even if you can't write code, as you learn something, nothing you learn that you had to go and look for and try to find the answer, that's something that you could share, that you could add to the Mozilla Developer Network or add in a question on Overstack. So you could share through writing or on your blog. So the post that I wrote about how I learned JavaScript got thousands and thousands of hits. And I almost didn't post it because I thought it made me look stupid. And I didn't really want to share the fact that I didn't know this language and that I'd had to learn it. But a lot of people found it useful. You can do public speaking. How many people here have given a talk? A public talk. All right. How many people have spoken on web technologies? All right. So all of you could give a talk, and you could give a talk at an event like this. You could give a talk at a local school about helping schools. You could use free software or web technologies. You could give a talk at the library. I have a friend who gives talks at nursing homes. Nursing homes are places where elderly people live in the U.S. And she was explaining about free software, and she had this old guy in the audience. And he sat there and he's like, I don't understand. Why would anybody do that for free? I don't understand this free software stuff. I don't believe you that people would do that for free. And she happens to be a veteran. She served in the armed services. And she looked at him and she goes, how many of you have been in the military? How many of you have served your country? And it was a whole bunch, all the men in the audience raised their hands. And she said, you fought for freedom for our country. She goes, people that write free software are fighting for freedom for the world, for the internet. And so they all are using Linux now, she says. And then teach other people. So give talks, teach other people, teach your kids. My son is 10. He's convinced he's going to write a demo for the Dev Studio contest. I haven't told him that I don't think Mozilla families can enter, but He's determined he's going to win an Android device. Oops, went too far. So that's my talk. I just wanted to encourage all of you to participate. I hope it's not just a talk. I hope this becomes a conversation. So I'd really like to have a conversation about how we can make the web more open and what we can do together to make that happen. So I have time for questions now, time for ideas, for discussions. No questions. Okay, well, I'll be here. And there's quite a few people from Mozilla around. And if people have ideas or want to talk about ways we can work together or have questions about some of the programs that I put out there, please feel free to find me.